Kathy, I'd like to start by asking a couple of questions that occurred to me as I read through the anthology you helped edit. Diane Tillman writes of her joy of discovering the 8 virtues of a Brahma Kumari. 7 of them are fairly passive and typically associated with the feminine. Those are humility, sweetness, patience, cheerfulness, tolerance, introversion, and purity. The 8th one is fearlessness, a word that would be more likely defined as a masculine construct. How does fearlessness enter into the feminine spirit?
Well, my experience of many, many women is that they are very brave. They are very fearless. I think actually one of the bravest things I've ever done in my life is to allow myself to love my children as much as I do when the world is an unpredictable place and things happen to people's children. And there is a fearlessness in the quality of my love for them. That is probably the biggest risk I've ever taken in my life. So I think that that's one example, one very personal example of the ways that women are fearless. It isn't fearless in that traditional sense of being a warrior necessarily and carrying a sword, but it's fearlessness in the sense of I will do whatever it takes to protect my children, to protect my family, to keep the wheels on the wagon for my people and the people that I love.
When you were speaking at Gather the Women, you also mentioned that women protect one another's children because we have empathy.
Absolutely. Once you've had that part of your heart opened, once you have loved your own child that much, you realize that every other mother in the world loves her children that much. And your heart opens to all of the world's children. And that, I think, is where there is a really rich possibility for creating a more unified and peaceful and collaborative world. Because when we open our hearts to all of the children of the world, then that fearlessness, that passion, that sensitivity, that leadership that we bring in that way becomes a global resource, a global model for creating a different kind of world.
Okay, in the anthology, Jan Boumin Saeed, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Writes of a saying in the Baha'i faith, walk a spiritual path with practical feet. And that's a concept that could cross religious boundaries, and I believe this is an example of what you were just saying.
Yes, absolutely. In parts of the world where there is intense religious conflict and violence, there is already a long history of women being the first ones who have been willing to bridge the gaps, to reach across those divides and to make connections with other women on the quote-unquote other side. And that model of practical action, women reaching out to other women to find that common ground, and that common ground is often defined by what will be good for all of our children. What will be good for the coming generations? What will be good for all of us? Someone years ago said to me that faith is hope with feet. And I see very often women living their spiritual beliefs, their spiritual practices in a way that completely erases the divides between those religions, between tribes, between warring cultures, because they have an ability to see the practical need for finding common ground.
Some of what we talk about is the feminine spirit and the feminine traits, compassion and cooperation, collaboration, that sort of thing. But one of the participants at the conference on Saturday made the point that men are changing and are taking on some of these traits, taking on more of the child-rearing and nurturing roles in the family, and are more willing to show compassion and emotion in public venues. Do you see that this is part of the change that's taking place right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are several levels at which I have been working and at which I've seen women engaged in a conversation over the last 10 years. And one of those levels has to do with the practical fact that women are still nowhere near levels of parity in, you know, major paradigms of power in the world, in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, in large corporations. Women are still lagging far behind men in sheer numbers and in the amount of money that they earn, you know, hour for hour for the work that they do in the world. But yet there's another level at which this conversation is happening, and that is the level of those feminine principles, which are very much accessible to men and are important to men. It's important for all of us, men and women, to be balanced human beings and to have that capacity for action and decision-making and doing and problem-solving, and also have the capacity for empathy, for compassion, for stillness, and for being present for others. And that, I think, is a very important point, because this new world that we have the opportunity to create together would be a more balanced world if all of the people, all of us, were more balanced.
Now, I gathered from your talk that women are moving away from patriarchy in our institutions, maybe are turned off by our institutions because of the patriarchy. They don't feel that there is a place for them. And one of those institutions is religion. And my reading tells me that women are leaving the church because of this and finding their own spirituality.
I am one of those women who has left the church. The Wisconsin Synod Lutheran Church of my childhood, and I'm a deeply spiritual person. Faith and my spiritual practice are very important to me, but I practice it outside of any particular religion. I have a brand of spirituality that in some ways I've woven together by myself, borrowing practices from many different spiritual traditions, including the earth-based spirituality of the Native American traditions and the indigenous traditions of Europe, Celtic traditions, Eastern philosophy, meditation techniques, those kinds of things. I know many, many, many hundreds, thousands of women in the United States who are like me in that regard. And in fact, I am on the board of trustees of the Parliament of the World's Religions, which is the world's oldest interfaith organization. And one of the things that that organization recognizes is that there are growing numbers of people who are in this category of being spiritual but not religious. A Pew survey of religion in the United States recently found that the fastest growing religious identification in the U.S. is unaffiliated. So there is a movement out of these, and I would call them patriarchal. Many of them are organized in very hierarchical ways with a very, you know, vertical style of organization. There are a few people of power who make all the decisions, and the bulk of the people involved are very passive, the recipients of those decisions. And that's, you know, one definition of patriarchy. And what I see in the groups that I am engaged with is a whole different style of decision making and leadership. That is a collaborative style where there's shared leadership, where you use more of a horizontal, circular way of making decisions and doing your work.
When you talk about making changes in what has been our religious history for thousands of years, you're probably treading on fairly thin ice when you talk about changing the image of God. But I see women who want to imagine God in their own image, or, you know, are finding a feminine spirit as opposed to imagining one. They're finding it. Is that coming? Is religion going to see that this power in the universe is as feminine as it is masculine?
Well, that's very definitely a rising tide that I see happening, is this a curiosity about, on the part of many women, about a God who is like them, a feminine aspect, a mother whose lap they can crawl up into. And there, of course, many of the world's ancient religions have a feminine aspect. There are goddesses in the Hindu tradition. Even in the Catholic tradition, there's the reverence for Mary that has always been there and that is deeply embedded. Many women who stay in the Catholic Church stay there because of their love for Mary there, and the fact that they have had not a divine being, but a holy representation of the feminine that they could identify with, that they could pray to, that they could talk about. They could use the word mother. They could say she. They could say her. In many other religions, there's no presence of a feminine aspect of God. There's no female pronouns. There's no mother. There's only father. That has been challenging and is growing, I think, increasingly challenging for many women. I think that a lot of women are seeking a more balanced representation of the divine and to see themselves reflected as having value, as having access to grace, and as having spiritual power available to them.
We talk about the collective power of women coming together and letting each other know we're not alone, but each one of us is just a face on a planet of 7 billion people, and every lifetime is like the flash of a firefly in the space of eternity. So what is the force of one woman's effort? Do all these specks have collective power?
First of all, I think the first thought that comes into my head is that even though there are 7 billion of us, and in some ways, that feels like a speck in the universe on a relatively tiny planet, you know, in a vast galactic sea of space. The truth is, I believe that we each have a spark of the divine within us. I think that we are, each of us, aspects of God, and that divine spark is within each of us. And it can guide us, it can inspire us, it can inform us about what is our greatest service on this tiny planet at this time. And it can catalyze us as individuals, sort of wake us up to what I refer to as our divine assignment. And then when we connect with other women around us, our own individual power gets magnified, it gets electrified further. And the image that I often get when I am out traveling, and I do a lot of traveling, I've traveled around the world, I work around the U.S. all the time, I go to the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women every year, I have engaged with, been in community with many women over the last 10 years. And the image that I get is what I call a constellation of hope, that each of those women represents a brilliant light of possibility. And where there is a cluster of them, there's a bright star cluster, but all of them are part of a really brilliant pattern that is offering, I think, to the world, particularly at this moment in time, a hope that it really needs.
Kathy Schaff, I thank you very much for talking to South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and thank you for your time.
It was wonderful to be with you all. Thank you.